From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Open lines this hour, numbers to follow in just a moment. Next hour, we'll get ready for this one. Science fiction and how UFOs have influenced the movies, television, and all those things going on in Hollywood. And also a list of the top 10 sci-fi flicks ever as determined by scientists. I wonder if you can guess a few of those. Well, preparations for the docking of the Expedition 12 crew and space tourist Greg Olson at the International Space Station are going smoothly as their Soyuz spacecraft bears down on the orbital laboratory. They're going to dock in about 30 minutes with the ISS. The Russian-built automated docking system aboard the Soyuz is expected to control the spacecraft's ISS rendezvous and docking. But just in case, the Russian Soyuz commander is ready to take the controls should a manual approach be required. So we'll monitor that situation. They're supposed to dock actually in about 25 minutes from now. Xena, the possible 10th planet in our solar system, has its own moon, a dim little satellite called Gabriel, according to its discoverers. Astronomers who reported Xena's discovery in July say they detected Xena's sidekick on September 10th using the Keck Observatory in Hawaii. The findings will be submitted to the Astrophysical Journal Letters on Monday. They just keep finding more and more things in space, don't they? Sad story out of Lake George, New York. A glass-enclosed boat carrying tourists on a senior citizen's cruise overturned Sunday on a very calm, chilly lake in upstate New York, killing at least 21 people, sending more than two dozen cold and wet passengers to a hospital. The accident may have occurred when the boat was hit by a wake of a larger passing vessel, according to the Warren County Sheriff there. He says, we haven't ruled anything out. The boat was carrying a tour group from Trenton, Michigan, by the way, very close to my hometown of Detroit. And it was sailing just north of the village of Lake George, which is a very popular tourist destination with calm waters, clear skies, temperatures in the 70s. It just seemed perfect boating weather. The accident apparently happened so fast that none of the passengers was able to put on a life jacket. Adult boat passengers are not required to wear a life jacket in New York. Friday night while we were on the air, we were talking about two hospitals in Toronto that were partially quarantined. You remember that story? Well, now here's another story. The death of four elderly people in Toronto from a respiratory illness now being investigated. Public health officials say 68 residents and five employees at the Seven Oaks Home for the Aged have been infected by this outbreak. 15 people have been hospitalized, but they say they have not been quarantined. This may or may not be the same story, but in this particular case, four people die of respiratory illnesses in Toronto. They say SARS has been ruled out, influenza has been ruled out, and avian flu has been ruled out. Another sad story, this time in Bali, Indonesia. Indonesia says it suspected two fugitives linked to Al-Qaeda masterminded the homicide bombings of crowded restaurants and tourist areas of Bali that killed at least 26 people, injured more than 100. The nation's president, meanwhile, warned that more tourist attacks are possible. The terrorists are still looking for soft targets. Now, these soft targets included a mall in Bali, the Hard Rock Cafe in Bali, and also outside the Four Seasons Hotel in Bali. If Al-Qaeda has its way, the next terrorist attack in the United States will be a nuclear hellstorm planned for seven major cities, and that is set apparently to begin during the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. Now, this is according to author Paul Williams. He's written the book called The Al-Qaeda Connection. He's been on Coast to Coast before. We will probably talk to him this coming week. He writes in a very special report for WorldNet Daily all about this. Ramadan begins Tuesday of this week and ends November 2nd. Now, the situation in Bali may very well have been tied to the beginning of Ramadan. Meanwhile, in Oklahoma, one person killed in an explosion about 100 yards from a packed football stadium at the University of Oklahoma Saturday night in what officials are ruling a suicide. The noisy explosion was heard inside Oklahoma Memorial Stadium, where 84,000 people were watching the Oklahoma Sooners play Kansas State. A police bomb squad reportedly detonated other explosives found at the site of the blast. At the moment, then, no spectators were allowed out of the stadium. They had to wait, and then police peacefully let them all leave. A volcano in western El Salvador erupted Saturday, sending a column of ash 50,000 feet into the air, killing two farmers buried by chunks of earth and boiling water that tumbled down the slopes. Authorities ordered the evacuation of three communities in the shadow of the volcano, which towers near Santa Ana, the country's second largest city, 40 miles from San Salvador, the capital. The volcano, they say, has entered an eruptive phase that consists of ashes and gas. Well, the outer bands of Hurricane Otis, what? Another hurricane? Yes, at least at the time. Down now to a tropical storm, lashed the coast of western Mexico. As the storm crawled toward the Baja California Peninsula, forcing hundreds of families to evacuate their homes and flooded roads in this resort city, forecasters expect Otis to skirt Cabo San Lucas and move ashore along a sparsely populated stretch of the desert far north of parts of Mexico. And Tropical Storm Stan made landfall in Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula early Sunday, with 45-mile-an-hour sustained winds. Forecasters predicted it would weaken as it moves over the region. Last week, I played clips of a Russian exorcism. I'm going to play it again for you because so many people have asked that they hear it again. Now, this was provided compliments of a very fine website called paranormal.about.com. Stephen Wagner's website. There is a link on coasttocoastam.com. Those of you who may want to listen in again and again and again to this scary exorcism, just go to coasttocoastam.com. Right down at the bottom or so of the homepage, you'll see a link to Stephen's website, paranormal.about.com. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this exorcism and what was going on. It's a very strange story of a Russian girl in a Russian Orthodox church. I want you to listen to it. It's very eerie. If these things scare you, please just turn away for just a couple of minutes. Thank you. That does send chills up your spine. Again, thanks to Stephen Wagner's website, paranormal.about.com. There's a link there, coasttocoastam.com. Here are the phone numbers for open lines. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is open for you right now. Here it goes. 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And you can always tell when it's getting close to Halloween. Lex has posted under Hot Stories about a ghost caught on TV. Take a look at this one if you can. There's a direct link at coasttocoastam.com. Has to do with just a very shocking thing of a ghostly figure of a Victorian woman pushing a whole pallet of goods to the ground. And just go take a look at the story. Okay, picture's worth a thousand words, and you tell me later on in fast blast form if you think this is a ghost. And they even have an outline of the woman sitting there, and I don't know. The way it looks to me is it could be a figure, it could be a chair out of focus. I'm just not sure, but you go ahead and take a look at it, and you can also play the video if you want, and it's spooky time, isn't it? Well, let's go to the phones. We've got open lines for you this hour. The next hour, Kevin Randall joins me. We're going to talk about sci-fi movies, also a little bit about Roswell as well. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Where are you?
Oh, I'm in Utah, Lake Utah.
Well, you're on the air. What's up?
Well, George, I just want to tell you I love your program. I listen to you almost every night.
Well, thank you. What do you mean almost every night? What?
Almost every night. Well, some days I have to get up real early, so then I don't.
All right, we'll give it to you.
Anyway, I'm just curious. I was wondering if you had heard, if there's any information regarding the Bigelow Ranch. Have you heard of the Bigelow Ranch?
Robert Bigelow's Ranch?
Robert Bigelow's Ranch.
Yeah, but what about it?
Well, you know, for a while there was, I guess they had like some scientists, or he had a group of people set up camp there. And there was, like, reports coming out of there of all kinds of strange anomalies going on up there.
I know he was doing...
Everything kind of died down.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing that anymore. I do think he's concentrating on plans to possibly build a space hotel up there.
You're kidding, a space hotel?
Yeah, he was financing NIDS, which was an organization that looked at different kinds of phenomenon. But I don't think he's doing that anymore. But the last I heard, he was interested in talking about trying to finance a space hotel. Would you go up there and spend a weekend in a hotel up there circling the planet?
Oh, you would catch me anywhere around that area. That whole area is just, you know, I know, I've heard there's portals up in the UNS. That open and close, and
I don't know.
It's a really strange area, so.
So you wouldn't go?
I wouldn't go personally, no. But I just thought it was strange because there were reports of shapeshifters and weird things, and then all of a sudden, nothing. You heard nothing.
Okay, All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, Wildcard Line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, I'm George. I'm glad to talk to you. A couple weeks ago, I just had a little premonition that. About you had Richard Hoagland on, and a lot of space talk was happening at the time about going back to Mars after so many years.
Yes,
it's going to take 12 years to get there, and it seemed like the biggest thing that was holding the space program back was money, and maybe to get this thing going. But back in the 60s when Kennedy was assassinated, and that was his big thing, was to go up to the moon. It seemed like everybody kind of rallied around that situation, and the money came in for NASA. And, I just had this little thought that, in my opinion, there's only one guy right now in the world that would maybe be a world figure to maybe promote the space program.
And who would that be?
Kind of in a far-out way, but, this guy has been already raising millions and millions of dollars for his special fund, and it just seemed kind of a natural kind of a person to be up in space, and he's got such a great... physical attributes, and it was just a weird thing, but I just had this vision of Lance Armstrong wanting to be the first person in Mars. And it was, you know, I just think this guy has a possibility of just rallying.
No, I didn't think of him.
It is just, you know, it was just kind of bizarre. You know, I mean, this guy's got the representation, not just nationwide, but worldwide, to bring in people to rally around that. I mean, could you imagine this guy standing up on a podium and saying, I want to be the first man in Mars? People would just rally around that. And I don't know, it's just kind of a weird thought.
Novel idea. Hey, nothing's weird on this program. Novel idea, though. Thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. First time caller line, where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yeah, this is Gene from Iowa.
Hello, Gene. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. I got a couple questions for you. On Katrina, I think we'll come out of this all right. Americans are pretty diverse and pretty resilient. We've always overcome. We'll come out of this all right. But one major question is, in today's money, how much money do we spend out in war reparation or rebuilding after World War One, World War Two, and Korea, and everything?
Billions, billions, billions.
Okay, and people are going nuts over Katrina. We sent all this money overseas. Isn't it about time that we can reinvest back in our own country?
Well, we should have been doing that a long time ago. You know, if we brought in the money that we give to other countries just to keep them happy, we could use this and rebuild the infrastructure and schools and things like that in our country overnight. Absolutely overnight.
Well, there again, now, to pay for part of this, all these loans we've gave to these other countries and stuff like that, what about calling in some of them loans?
You know what?
Is that a no-no?
It's a no-no because they're not going to pay them anyway. We're going to probably write them off.
Well, just curious, wanted to put in my two cents.
No, I agree.
Very good show, sir.
Thanks. We'll never collect from these loans. Never collect. We're going to write them off. By the way, have you ever lent money to a friend? Have you ever been paid back? Once you lend money to a friend or family member, just write it off. It's gone. So you have to make a decision. Hey, I'm going to lend the money because I want to. I want to help this person out. But don't expect to get paid back. I've had friends over the years where I've helped them out. It never comes back. And I've never asked for it back. But never once did somebody ever just say, here, George, here's your check back. Never happened. West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Virginia?
Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
Yes, there is.
Where are you?
I'm in Salt Lake City.
What's going on there?
Well, I just wanted to tell you about a story my grandmother told me quite a few years back.
Okay, well, go for it. If it gets to be too lengthy, I'll hold you over for the break. Go ahead.
Okay. She was in bed late at night, and her son, who was ill, and she was my grandfather's second wife, and his son was by our former marriage. He was in a cradle beside her bed, very, very ill. The cradle belonged to his half-sister, who was my grandfather's daughter as well. And this figure came up the stairs. She thought it was my mother at first, who was in her teens. But then it came into the bedroom, and it was floating. The feet weren't touching the floor. And it pointed at the cradle three times.
Oh, really?
Then it turned around and
floated away.
So, anyway, he got well. He was fine. And the daughter went back into her cradle after he got well.
Uh-huh.
And about 3 weeks later, she died in the cradle.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah. Yet the spirit knew something, I think.
It did, yeah. And I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Have you ever read a book called Michelle Remembers? It's out of Vancouver, B.C.
No, I have not. What's that about?
It's a Satanist.
Oh, I probably
wouldn't
read that.
It is pretty horrible.
Yeah, I don't try to read those.
Uh-huh.
No.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good evening, George.
Stay away from those, even though a Satanist has emailed me and wants to set up an interview with the devil, which I may do down the line only because of my morbid curiosity, quite frankly. So we will be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM for more Open Lines. I'm George Norrie. We'll be right back. Well, the Enterprise Missions, Richard C. Hoagland, also our science advisor, he's been monitoring the docking of the Soyuz and the International Space Station, which is occurring, has occurred right about now. Richard, what has happened?
Well, a few minutes ago at 12:27 Central Time, the Soyuz docked successfully with the ISS, carrying Greg Olson, the Russian cosmonaut, and the American commander to replace the crew, the current crew of Expedition 11, which is up there. This will be Expedition 12. And, you know, there's just something really wrong with this, if I can editorialize.
Yeah, are you?
I've been known to on occasion.
Yes, you have.
I mean, I'm watching NASA Select right now, which is NASA TV, which is the satellite system inside NASA, which they also make available to the outside world, which links all the centers. It started out that way, and now, you know, anybody with a decent, you know, cable system,
sure,
or satellite system can eavesdrop on what NASA's doing.
And it's a real-time feed, right?
It's a real-time feed. They are advertising, get this, Expedition 12, it's right on the screen now, space flight participant, post-docking news conference, next from Johnson Space Center. Now, let me decode this for everybody, okay?
All right.
Remember the big deal about Dennis Tito?
Dennis Tito.
Yeah. Who was the...
He was the one who was going to spend some money?
He spent $20 million.
Yes.
Like, a couple years ago when Dan Golden was head of NASA.
That's right.
Against NASA, kicking and screaming and lying on the floor and beating their heels against the floor, doing everything to basically say to the Russians, you're nuts, you're dumb, you're stupid, you can't take a tourist into space and make money. This guy, Greg Olson, is in a totally different scenario.
Yep, he's still spending the $20 million, but how come they're happy with him?
They're totally, that's exactly the point, George, because he's one of them.
Uh-huh.
Dennis was an outsider. He had a peripheral connection to JPL like 30 years ago. He did some kind of celestial mechanics work, and then he went on to his own, you know, stuff, and he made a lot of money. He was able to spend the $20 million. This guy, Greg Olson, is as deep inside NASA to be an outsider as you can get. He has made his millions and millions on developing infrared sensor technology, which is used by the Air Force, by JPL, by other parts of NASA, by the Black Ops crowd, by, you know, spy satellites. He is the inner of the tourists. And they're going to reward him with a spaceflight participant conference in the next few minutes after they've docked with the station. And the whole thing is a farce. If I may be very blunt, it is a farce. Because this is no more representative of your average American going into space.
Still there, Richard?
And enjoying the benefits thereof, then, you know, you and I getting a chance to go.
No, I agree with that. Hey, quick question. I don't know, did you hear Friday night's show? We had David Cerita on for the first hour. He thinks one of the reasons Olson is bringing an infrared camera up there with him is to look for UFOs. What do you think?
The good news is he's doing something interesting. The bad news is he didn't say anything about it. When they had a press conference a few weeks ago, which
right.
I watched, this was a guy who would make a very good politician. He sat there for 45 minutes in front of the world press and said nothing. And that, of course, didn't surprise me because I wouldn't expect him to say anything. What surprised me and bothered me was the press didn't ask him, what the hell are you going to be doing? They didn't ask one question. He only talked about his scientific studies.
Whatever they were.
Now, if he's really kind of a double agent for us, and he's going to try to take some really cool pictures and make them public, I will be the first guy to applaud. But I'm not going to hold my breath.
What's on the EnterpriseMission.com website and the blog? Anything
new? We have some startling images from the MIMIC system at the University of Wisconsin on Hurricane Ophelia. Remember how Ophelia did a weird dance up along the East Coast?
Yes.
Never making up her mind. Was she going to go on shore? Was she going to stay offshore? Was she going to be a hurricane? Was she going to be a tropical depression?
Kind of like a Marilyn Monroe wiggle.
Yes. Well, the actual Ophelia in Hamlet was the same didn't know her own mind type. Anyway, the point is we've got astonishing imaging showing some kind of technological intervention with Ophelia. And when you see this technology come on, she changes course. She changes destination. She changes strength. We have a cause and effect sequence showing somebody using technology to interfere with a real live hurricane for people who say this can't happen.
Boy,
and it's on the Enterprise Mission blog right now.
You're on it. Thanks, Richard, for the update. Appreciate it. And we'll be back with Open Lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Open lines, back to the phones. Wild card line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Yeah, how's it going?
Going well, sir. Thanks. Where are you? Hello? Don't have time for that, but thanks for asking me how I'm doing. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Maybe you can help me on this. This is a strange question, but it is on my mind.
All right.
I was helping my grandmother clean out her kitchen closet, and I come across a cereal box, King Vitamin. Does it ring a bell?
King Vitamin. That was back in the 70s, I remember.
Well, this was copyright 1998. Anyway, the question is, there's a photograph of a man dressed as a king on the front of it.
Okay.
And the box now has a cartoon character. Who is this man? I'm sure he's an actor, but...
His first name was Jay. I can't remember his last name, but I think he's the guy who came up with that Rocky and Bullwinkle characters.
Okay.
Wasn't he?
Well, I'm not sure. Because he did some commercials for King Vitamin, and his picture's here.
Was it Jay Ward?
I don't know. Can you...
I'll check.
Can I pick your brain on this?
King Vitamin cereal. Look, yeah, somebody. Okay. Look, we've got 10 million researchers out there who are now working their computer.
Quaker Oats is the makes King Vitamin. I just want to know who he is.
Okay, we'll get the answer and we'll get it up there for you as soon as we can. You got it. Let's go and we'll move on. Let's go to our first time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
I'm in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay, it's all yours. What's up?
Okay, I wanted to give you some advice on that Ouija board.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do it. Not in the studio.
But what you want to do is you want to get a black and white candle.
A black and white? Two different candles or just one?
Yes, just two different candles.
A black one, a white one?
Yes, you put the white one on your right-hand side and the black one on your left-hand side.
What's that supposed to do?
Okay, well, if you communicate good spirit, the flame will rise on the white candle. If you communicate evil spirit, the black flame would go up on the black candle.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
And so you can. While you're doing this, then while you've got the Ouija board, if a good spirit comes up, the white kind of puffs up.
Yeah.
And then if, of course, like you just said, the evil demon comes through, then that's how you know you're not being tricked, I guess.
Right.
Here's the problem, though. Once the black one comes through this portal of the Ouija board, then what do?
You put the pendulum on goodbye, and they'll close the portal.
You just push it on purpose? You just go goodbye, and it's gone?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you know this?
Also, if you're baptized in any Christian doctrine...
Well, I was.
It won't work for you then.
It will not work for me?
No.
Why not?
Yes, I tried it once, and it didn't work for me. But my father did it, and he's not baptized.
Huh. Well, let me ask you a strange question. I know Catholics are baptized. What about people who are not Catholics? People who are...
Like I said, any Christian doctrine, no matter if you could be Catholic, Lutheran...
I mean, do Lutherans get baptized and Mormons? And I mean, do they all get baptized? I don't know. I'm a Catholic.
I'm not sure about Mormons. Anybody who follows Jesus Christ that was baptized?
Well, why don't we make it easy? Why don't we just say, don't use a Ouija board? that would do it. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's go next. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Sarah from Spokane. How are you doing?
Fine, Sarah.
I called a couple months ago because I was seeing spots of light. Do you remember me?
Oh, yeah, and I told you to go to the doctor just in case, right?
I talked to my family doctor, and he asked me all kinds of questions, and I'm fine.
All right. Well, that's good.
But I'm just wondering, and maybe you have some friends, or maybe you know somebody who knows a little bit more about spirituality, but maybe I personally think that I might be experiencing other beings, like guides or spirits.
So I assume this is still happening, right?
Yes, all the time. In fact, I saw three today.
Do they just like
one over my sister, over my sister's right shoulder, a very strong silver star, and
so maybe you're seeing angels.
Maybe. Well, why would I be so special to be able to see
something like
that?
Well, that's a good question. But you know what? Why three children in Fatima? I mean, who knows why people are picked for whatever they do? Do you make any prophecy or anything like that? Predictions?
I have very strong dreams sometimes, but who knows what they mean?
What are the dreams like?
Well, one dream I had about I was looking at the sky, and there was a huge sound of a wave. And I knew that it was toxic, and I saw flashes of different kinds of animals. And then all of a sudden the sky turned a rotten shade of brown.
Like a hurricane or something like that?
It's just nasty, yeah.
That's strange. Okay, we'll keep our eyes on that. Keep checking in with us on that. Remember, by the way, the person who had the dream about George W. Bush looking at a calendar circling September 30th. He had kind of that nervous chuckle. Remember that story? A lot of us have been following that. September 30th, well, it came, it went. I don't think anything happened of any significance, at least on September 30th. Now, there is a problem, though, because they're talking about Ramadan, which starts on Tuesday, and that something could happen. And, of course, also then we have the situation in Bali with 26 people being killed, hundreds injured in three separate suicide explosions. Wild card line, welcome to the show. Hello.
Hello, George.
Yeah, hi.
It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry. Earlier, I think my connection was cut off somehow. But anyway.
Oh, was that you? I kept saying, you're on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay. Could you hear me?
Yeah, I could.
That's strange. Okay.
Yeah, we couldn't
hear you.
Strange things.
But we hear you now.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, I've been going through a voodoo attack for 11 months now by my upstairs neighbors. I live in an apartment building.
Why are they going after you?
It started as a conflict over noise.
Who, you're making the noise or they are?
Well, they have a little girl that they were letting, you know, run around.
Just going nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you said, hey, come on, calm down.
Yeah. And they.
So to get back at you, they're now doing a voodoo attack on you?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
I can't prove it by any outward signs, but.
But you think it's happening then?
Oh, I'm sure it's happening because I've never had this kind of pain.
What's happening to you?
My leg has gone numb. I do have dental problems, but. Like all of a sudden, my whole cheek was in intense pain, and then it went away. I've had this burning heat on the top of my head.
What would lead you to think it's them? Do you know for sure though that they're voodoo practitioners? You might not know if they're doing it on you, but I mean, do you think? Are they from Haiti? Do they practice voodoo?
They're from Hawaii, and I don't know if they do voodoo, but until they moved in, I didn't have any problems.
Are they nice people?
You know, they act nice on the outside, but I guess if you get into a conflict with them, you're toast.
Have they done this to other neighbors?
As far as I know, they haven't.
So you're the first?
Yeah.
I
don't know.
But you're going to need, you have a computer?
I have access at the library.
Yeah, you know, you need to start looking at ways to ward off voodoo attacks.
Well, you know, I listened to Sylvia Brown.
Yeah.
And I did what she recommended on the air.
She talks about, you know, the glowing light and things like that.
Yeah. And I did the mirror magic.
Mm-hmm.
And the oils and this woman is stronger than that.
Now, Evelyn Paglini, good
Evelyn
witch.
Paglini,
I think that's who that was. Who
yeah,
did that
that's
one.
Right. Yeah. That's right. But what I wanted to ask you was, during Hurricane Katrina, I had protection came from somewhere, and I was being attacked, and I could in my what I thought was my imagination, I could see these fierce winds blowing. And I thought it was just my imagination. But then I heard later on the program that Sylvia Brown said that there is a voodoo attack going on. And,
what we don't know is if it's attacking you. So definitely, I think, follow the advice of what the good witch, Evelyn Paglini, has recommended, and do it. I mean, what can you lose, especially if you think that's what's happening to you? Hey, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Norris.
Yes, sir.
It's good to hear you on Sunday night.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you I tried some DMT after the show the other night. And I wanted to warn the audience to be careful with that if they haven't tried it before, or do some research.
Qualified, of course, by our guest. He's,
right, because he didn't really portray how terrifying it is.
He cannot, nor recommend it by any means. What happened to you?
Scary. What's that?
What, did you have the racing heartbeat and everything else that comes along with it?
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded that, but it was all the visions. I mean, I saw grays, I saw jaguar people, I saw the...
Now, do you think they were real, or do you think you were hallucinating?
It feels like a hallucination, but they seem very real.
Yeah.
I mean, they notice you, you notice them, and like what he called the elves.
Yes.
I saw them. They didn't really seem like elves to me. They seem more like leprechauns.
Do they notice you?
Oh, yeah, they notice you.
Yeah, that's what's interesting.
And they're very menacing looking.
It's like you go through this portal somehow.
Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to plead with the audience to be careful with that stuff.
You're going
to
do it again?
Maybe sometime. Sometime soon. I think I overdid it a little bit.
Yeah, be careful.
This was Friday night, and I still haven't quite shaken it off yet.
All right. Then be definitely careful. And everybody recommends that it's not legal to use, so you better be careful. And if you're in a different country, you should have a doctor with you who is an expert in that kind of medicine, so to speak. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How are you doing today?
Well, I am well.
My name is Andrew Lawrence.
Hello, Andrew.
I'm calling from Kingman, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And about 6 years ago, in 99, I lost a friend on that Alaskan Air Flight 261.
Oh, my God.
And, see, I'm totally blind.
Okay.
And I was very close to her. Well, just recently, I was walking through the kitchen of my house.
All right.
Now, I'm living with some people now.
Okay.
And I was walking through the kitchen. Everybody's sound asleep. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm walking through the kitchen, going to the bathroom. And I felt her hand on my shoulder.
How do you know it was her?
I would know her hand anywhere.
Really? Just well, I guess you are tuned in and you're much more sensitive to stuff like that than most people.
Right.
And I'm sure you've talked to the people that you're living with, and what did they say? Have they felt this too?
No, they haven't.
So you're the only one?
I'm the only one.
Why do you think she's coming back now?
I would have to say to watch over me.
Okay, well, take that as a good sign, and I'll be back watching over you with our guest Kevin Randall as we talk about sci-fi and the effects of UFOs in movies and films and television. In a moment, I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.